Welcome to Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is KM on the FM, and I'm your host for this week's Grad Chat. A show like this could not happen without the support of the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs and CFRC, so a big thank you to both of them. If you miss a show at any time, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. It is a great way to stay informed about all the exciting research our graduate students and postdocs are working on. And today we have a special episode. We have our guest today, who is Suyin, the DJ Bear, joining us for a holiday wrap-up special for 2025. And Suyin, the DJ Bear, is the editor for Grad Chat, and she has been listening and mixing many, many episodes over the years as our editor.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us again. It's great to chat about how this season, which is this fall season, went and to hear about podcasts and radio shows and what knowledge mobilization looks like for graduate students and postdocs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been such a good, fun term, listening to everyone's Grad Chat, and thank you everyone for participating. It's great. It's a great opportunity. So I'm happy to talk about that.
Yes, we've had a lot of different students and postdocs from across faculties, from across departments. Mm-hmm. There's been a really wide range of topics that we've gotten to learn about, and I feel it has been really, really fun getting to see all the cool stuff people are doing. But I wanted to start off today, I wanted to ask Suyin a little bit about her process. So what is your editing process like?
Oh, that's a great question. So for me, one of the challenges of editing is depending on where the episode is recorded. So sometimes, for those if you do know, we record at the studio here at CFRC or online. And my process is starting by checking out the audio, because sometimes, you know, some people are a bit more nervous, and sometimes we're not used to speaking into a microphone, or sometimes people at home are using their own microphones from their computers or a headset, so the volume sometimes does not necessarily match. So one of the big things for me starting is to assess the volume and work on that to make sure that everything is, well, sounds great on the radio, right? We don't want to go whoa and then quiet. So that's one of the first things that I do. And I also assess the length of an episode, because we only have 29 minutes for the live show. And then we also air it as a podcast, so that it can be as long as that is. But for the 29 minutes, I need to be mindful of how much time I need to save or cut. Mm-hmm. So the process is, so listening and editing the volume as I go. So I listen in and I start adjusting the volume. We have like this amazing free software called Audacity, and that really has been amazing to do the edits for the volume, for the length, for everything. And then you just turn it into an MP3, which is great. It's a lot of fun to just listen. That's my job, is to listen to this podcast, and it's really fantastic. Yeah.
I know. I always, I'm very conscious when we're recording of things that I'm worried that you are going to have to work with. And I always apologize sometimes on the unedited clips of things that we have perhaps had a big volume shift, or for example, if we're recording people from home, if they have, you know, a pet, like a dog barking in the background, or things like that. I'm conscious of those, but also trying to just keep our interview going, because I know we want to have a good flow. So thank you for all of your diligent work in cutting out those awkward little in-betweens or those background noises, you know, different things that happen as we're recording either in the studio or online for folks who maybe are not currently living in Kingston.
Which is a great thing to do, to have that option. Because I mean, it's fantastic to come to the studio, but sometimes it's just not possible, so no one misses out of this opportunity, which is great.
Yes, it is very fun to get to interview people when they're, you know, traveling around the world for field work or for conferences, and then also to bring folks into the studio. So the studio at CFRC is such an interesting, cool space. It's a historic space, and it's really fun to bring people in and show them what a great campus and community resource that CFRC is, and all the supports that CFRC can offer. Like, we truly could not do a show like this without their support. And it's really rewarding to show students and postdocs what CFRC does, just a fraction of what they do, really, and how people can access all of the supports that they have if you were interested yourself in doing more after you've been on Grad Chat.
Yes, absolutely. And they offer training as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're a bit nervous or not sure then how to start this process, they have a training and everyone here is so friendly. So
yes. No, I it's a wonderful team. I've had the training as well and it was helpful. It's you learn a bunch in a really short time and then you get a chance to just create whatever you'd like. And mm-hmm. with Grad Chat, that means we get to continue our show and podcast and share it with the Kingston and Queens community.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned this a little bit about what some of the challenges are for editing the show around volume and different background noises and things, but what, and you mentioned that you really enjoy listening, but what are some other aspects about editing the show that you enjoy or find challenging?
I'll start with the challenging. I think one of the challenges is having to do cuts to get the airtime to 29, because some answers might be very long and there's no, you want to keep a flow and you don't want to cut conversations short, right? But at the same time, we have to for the purposes of radio, right? So one of the challenges for me is to decide where I should interrupt the conversation mm-hmm. and maintaining that flow. But you're very good at giving me notes, which I really appreciate that, you know? And it's, I always try to reassure when I do a big cut, for example, it's like, it's all there in the podcast, don't worry about it. But it is difficult sometimes when the answers are very long mm-hmm. and then I need to decide where to cut so when the next question begins, it makes sense and it's flowing and it's not just an interruption. Mm-hmm. Another one I will say is making the time to do like a full edit mm-hmm. without interruptions because I have a little one at home. So at times it can be, you know, I start an edit and then I have to step away and then come back to it and I just go, okay, where was I? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And things like that. But it is a very interesting experience for me to be able to basically follow the narrative. And I think if people have experienced conference papers, when you're really getting into it and you're writing and then they say, well, you can only do 5 pages or 7 pages. And you go, oh, my goodness, where do I cut? So it's sort of a similar exercise to know. It's not my research, though. So I want to be respectful of someone to make sure that I honor the entire story of their research. But it is a good practice learning to find those spots and to shorten a narrative in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
No, it does. I think that's one thing I find challenging as well, interviewing people, is wanting to ask follow-up questions or ask for clarification, but I don't necessarily want to interject if they're, you know, having a really great flow in their answer or they're, you know, you can tell that they're really focused on something. I don't want to interrupt them and ruin that flow for them, even though I would like to know more about, you know, a particular term or maybe a methodology that they mentioned, something like that. But I really don't want to interrupt and throw them off piece, the conversation that they've had. But luckily, because we are not live on the air, I can always wait and then follow up. If we were live on the air, I think I would have to hone my skills as an interviewer even more to make sure that we could still get a clear understanding of someone's research.
Yes.
Without, for a general audience, of course, without interrupting someone and throwing off the narrative that they do want to tell.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for people, it's also a very important skill to learn because, you know, we are used to talking about our research endlessly. Mm-hmm. And on an essay or on a paper, we can just keep going. And they actually encourage us to just length. It's one thing, right? But I think it is great to be able to practice talking about our research in a very condensed form and still just emphasize what the public needs to know about it to understand it. Mm-hmm. And I find that is a very good practice. Like when I've done it, I can also go on and on and on. And I just go, whoa, I didn't even answer the question. So it's great practice. I learned so much just editing about this process and about research mobility and communication. Really. Mm-hmm. It's great. And that's, I guess, segues into one of the things that I enjoy the most is, first of all, funny enough, I get to meet people that way. Because sometimes when I edit a show and I just familiarize myself with their research and then I get to meet them in person, I go, oh, I did your grad chat. I know your research. And it's an icebreaker for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I get to know a lot of people and what they're up to, what their research is about, which I don't get to do a lot because I'm not on campus as much anymore. After your senior year, you're sort of forgotten over there. But I really enjoy getting to know everybody in this way. It's a weird way. And sometimes they do stare at me like, oh, okay, for you. But I feel like there's this familiarity or this community building around this grad chats. I really enjoy that aspect. And I get to learn so much. So much. I have topics of conversation. Being able to like, oh, there's a grad student who's working on this. You should check out their grad chat. Things like that. So I feel connected to the grad community that way. Yeah.
No, I would echo the sentiment about getting to learn about such cool things and mm-hmm. getting to really hear about what's cutting edge across campus, right? Yeah. Like this semester, we've had people from biology, from computing, from translational medicine, from kinesiology, chemistry, and kind of everything in between, right? We've had so many different guests with such different diverse research projects and approaches to research. So yes. I find as well, it's such a exciting way to really see what's happening on the ground, because grad students and postdocs are truly at the cutting edge of their fields. They're, you know, everyone is proposing new research or approaching a familiar topic in a new way that hasn't been done before. And that's kind of how you're making your niche, your impact as a researcher. So truly grad chat highlights some really exciting work that you won't see anywhere else. And and because it's in progress, it may or may not have been published anywhere yet. So GradChat is kind of our sneak preview of some of the really cool work that's happening. So I agree that it's really, really rewarding and exciting to be part of the show and to get to see what is happening all the time. I wanted to ask as well, I think you started to allude to some of this, but in your opinion, what are some key elements that make for a really good radio show or podcast episode? You kind of talked a little bit about kind of narrative and pulling things together for an audience, you know, other than going on at length. But what are some elements that you think or that you see make for a really good episode?
I think it's that story. It's a story. And in this way, for this specifically, like the story of your research and some people get to share how they got there, which it's really enjoyable to know where they started, why they chose Queens, and then where the research is moving towards and what they want to do with that. And I think that having those stories, listening to those stories has been really amazing, because sometimes we get lost in the research part of it. And we tend to, when you're doing a podcast, too much technical terminology or too much theory can be daunting for an audience who's not familiar with that process or with the language. Even myself, I'm a grad student, but it's still, it can be, I get it overwhelmed by my own voice sometimes, you know, but all of these theoretical concepts or all of this historical context. So I find that when you come in and you tell a story, in whether that be the story of how you got there and then the story of your research, but that makes for a very compelling episode. And I think for me, that is an important skill to develop as well. Talking about it by highlighting, you know, not just what you learned about it, but also what people can learn about and then what they can do with it or where it goes. And I know sometimes people are nervous because they don't feel like they're there yet or they're not. And I've been there, you know, you don't feel like you know anything sometimes. You know, I read a lot and I know these things, but I think people want to know. And in the podcast format is a fantastic way of sharing that. And you can just listen on the go as well. So, yeah, I think that's one of the things for me that makes one.
I find it's really fun to learn about both the process and kind of journey that people are taking, as well as the research, because I think those usually inform one another in some way, sometimes more so for some folks than others. But how you came to a topic, you know, maybe what your past research interests or the places you did your previous degrees, those types of things, I think factor into what led you to the research questions that are inspiring, you know, your master's, your PhD, or your postdoc work. It's hard to separate those experiences from the research that you're doing, right? So I think that's I do like to ask folks where they've been and how they've got here, because I think it helps inform us of kind of
their story.
Yeah, it's their story, and it but I think it's related to research too. And I think sometimes folks maybe in research communities really want to draw a clear delineation between themselves and their research, and I think that's fair to some extent. But I do think there is, you know, you bring something special to your research that no one else brings because of your experiences. And I like to highlight those to graduate students and postdocs, because I think sometimes there can be a little bit of imposter syndrome in the community. And I think it's important to show that, you know, no, you're your specific path, your specific questions, the way you've got here, and the way you came to develop those questions is important and couldn't be done by anybody else. So.
Exactly. Yes. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking that you don't know how your story and your research will impact someone who might be going through the same thing, who might be having these feelings, who might be nervous, or who might have changed the course of their research, or things happened and they had to change their research methods or their research topics sometimes, or they had to stop for a bit and come back. And when they get to listen to these stories and to where your research got in spite of those challenges or in spite of those new ways of looking at it, you know, I think that it gives people hope that there's a way out if you're struggling. I have found that specifically for some of the extracurricular activities, how they, I feel like now I have to do swing dancing because I just, people are taking the time for themselves and they're still doing their work and they're still managing all of this. And sometimes you're like, you get to hear the success stories, right? About this journey. And it really helps. And I think that that's something that we are giving back to the community as well. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of hope that that the process is there and then that you can do this.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's great to see students and postdocs throughout whatever stage they're in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice that we have students who are in their master's, students who are in their PhD, and at different stages too. We have folks who come on early in their research journey where maybe they're still sorting out some of their questions. Mm-hmm. They have a topic in mind, but maybe they haven't gone through comps, or maybe they haven't finished research ethics or things like that, but they still have an idea. And it's great to hear from those folks as they're developing their research program and what they want to explore. And then we also have folks who come more towards the end of their degree or their time here at Queen's, and they are able to share really concrete findings and kind of big lessons. But I think hearing from people across the stage of their degree is helpful for those reasons, right? To see what a process it is and to see that people take paths that are usually not linear. They don't quite map on to a grad plan or a degree program maybe as clearly as you thought it would be when you enter a program. But I think it's helpful to see that, you know, that's very common and it's not, you're not an outlier by changing your mind about your research or changing the process of your research, or like you said, taking some time off and coming back. That's all very common and normal throughout whatever degree or program you may be in. So I do like to ask our guests about their process, just to show that, because I think it is true that there's no one right way to do a degree.
No.
And
I moved to Canada for my undergrad to start a pre-med program. So I was in biology originally, and then now I'm doing a PhD in English. So, you know, it's like different.
Yes, no, right. Things change, and that's not.
That it's okay. You don't know. You know, we're learning things, and the learning process is an important part of this. So now I get to combine my love for science but in literature, and then work with that a little bit more. So it worked out.
Yeah. And without that experience, you wouldn't have that grounding in biological understanding that informs your approach to understanding literature.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I think it just shows that no one else could do your research, and the path you took, it was essential to getting to the questions and the approaches that you take now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy talking to students and postdocs about their extracurriculars as well. I think it's so interesting to see all of the different hobbies and activities and sports and community events that people are invested in throughout their time here.
Yes, I was very surprised. And like I mentioned earlier, about how many people do the swing dance. and we had an episode for especially dedicated to swing dance with Sam Jing from biology and Amy Parks from cultural studies. What are your thoughts on this? Have you tried?
I have not tried swing dance, but I did have friends who went during their PhDs at Queen's also did swing dance.
Oh.
So I think it is, it's kind of
is it like a rite of passage? Is that what gets you to finish? Because I might try it out.
There's got to be something to it, because it's such a good activity that continues to persist through graduate communities over many years. So there's got to be something to it.
Yes.
I don't know if...
That and swimming.
And swimming, yes.
I heard swimming as well.
Yes. I can speak to swimming. I do enjoy swimming, and I think it was very helpful during my PhD as well to go clear your head and just swim some laps at the arc and work on some, those difficult points in your writing or those difficult concepts that just won't untangle themselves. I found sometimes swimming would really help untangle those, you know.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. But only if you like swimming, right?
Of course. So
yes, and I'm always astounded by how many things some people are able to juggle at once. I am always astounded by the amount of activities that people are up to outside of an incredibly busy research schedule.
Yes, teaching as well, because some of them are teaching at the same time or they have families. Mm-hmm. And I'm astounded as well. It's impressive that you're doing this for yourself as well, which I should do more.
It's challenging though, right? I think, but I think it's, again, another way to show what our students and postdocs are doing, like how involved they are in communities outside of just their research communities. They have so many different identities and they participate in so many different activities that support those communities, whether they're on campus or off campus, whether they're in Kingston or not, people are staying engaged with things that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And I love to see, again, after we have a conversation, a really detailed conversation about this really intense research process that someone's been doing, and then learning about, you know, how much they love to cook or how much they love to run or going bird watching or these different activities that people get up to throughout their downtime. But I'm always shocked after, you know, hearing the amount of work they do that they have downtime. But I'm very happy to know that people are taking care of themselves and doing fun things outside of research, which can be fun, but can also be daunting at times.
Yeah, I can imagine it. Yes. I wanted to actually congratulate you on your first term as the grad chat host. I find that you do an amazing job leading the conversation to that. You know, you start with their story about their research and then move on into the research discussion and the extracurriculars. How was this experience for you becoming the grad chat host?
It's been a lot of fun and a little intimidating, right? I think our dear colleague Colette Steer has retired, which is great for her but sad for us. It's as it should be. She should enjoy things in her retirement, but holy, those are some big shoes she has left to fill. So I wanted to do grad chat proud, and I hope that I can continue the legacy that Colette started with this show and how much she wants to feature graduate students and postdocs and how much she wants to just share the incredible, incredible work that people are doing. And I hope that hosting the show and continuing it, we can continue that kind of that goal of just showcasing great research from early career researchers at Queen's and really continue that. So it has been intimidating. There's a learning curve, but it has been so, so much fun and very rewarding to get to meet so many people and to really spend time with them and just getting to talk about their research.
Yeah. What are the main challenges you find as hosts?
Yeah, I think it's largely scheduling. And convincing students and postdocs to come on the show, that they're ready to come on the show. I do find people may be interested but feel like they are like, oh, you know, after one more thing. They always want to do one more thing before they come on the show. Maybe it's they want to finish comps or, you know, they want to do a little bit more field work or read a little bit more in one area before they feel ready to come on the show. So I think not convincing people but reassuring people that they can come on the show at any stage of their research and that they have something important to share at any stage of their research. Because I do think as well, even as students are maybe earlier on in a degree, it's still important to hear about their process. And I think that coming on and doing an interview forces you to reflect on your process a little bit more. And I think it can be helpful and just get thinking through some of those big issues about research design and those types of things. So I think, one of the main challenges is just finding people who are willing to come on the show. I mean, we'd love to have anyone. So any of our listeners, we'd love to have you at any time. We'd also, if you've already been on the show, we'd love to have you again.
That's key, yes.
Because research changes and processes change. So we'd love to hear about, you know, updates on how your work has been going and to see. I think that's the biggest challenge. I think some other challenges are reassuring folks that it is hopefully a comfortable space. You know, they can come on It's not live on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It is pre-recorded, whether that's pre-recorded in the studio or online if you're not currently living in Kingston or you're traveling, but it's pre-recorded. So it is, well, it can be scary to think mm-hmm. about coming on a show. It is all with your lovely support and edits. So it's always more polished. It's not live. So I think those are the two challenges that I see the most of, is just convincing people to come on at any stage throughout the process and reassuring people that it is a place where they can control the narrative. It's not live. We can pause. We can let people collect their thoughts. We can, you know, if you don't like an answer, we can pause. We can try it again. We've got yep. lots of opportunities, right? So it's a show where the purpose is to provide the opportunity to get comfortable speaking about your research to a non-specialist audience. The whole mm-hmm. purpose is practice and learning, right? It's we're not expecting anyone to come on the air and be...
Give us a tech.
Exactly, yes. No, we're not expecting that. You don't have to be comfortable speaking on the radio. This is supposed to be kind of your warm-up, right? Yep. This is supposed to be your practice, your opportunity to try it out. So with that, we'd love to have you, you know, any of our guests as many times as they'd like to come on, because everyone has really cool stuff to share. And yes. the more we know, I think it's helpful to get it out there, and it's great practice, right? Because you're only going to have to continue speaking about your research throughout your program, whether or not that's just even in your defense. You're going to have to speak about your research for a long time. So even in a purely academic context, I think it's great practice for folks to get comfortable speaking and fielding some questions and to think about, you know, the broad purpose of their research and what they want people to know about it. So I think that can be helpful. But yeah, the two challenges: getting people to come on the show and sharing that it is a really low stakes environment to practice in. I think some folks have an idea that maybe you're live on the radio, and that's not true. It is all pre-recorded to give you the opportunity to practice.
So on that note, please sign up for GradChat next year.
Yes,
with the lovely KM on the AFM.
We would really love to have you, and we would love to learn about your research and get to dive a little deeper into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an exciting development in my role, but it has been intimidating because I wanted to do Colette proud and all that hard work you and Colette have put into the show over the years. And we want to keep up that high standard and keep showcasing all this great work at Queen's mm-hmm. and keep providing that space for people to practice getting comfortable with media and getting comfortable speaking to the public about their work, because Colette has put in an incredible amount of work over the years, and it is such a great program that I want to see it continue to flourish like she had it for so many years. So hopefully, I'm sure we'll have Colette on the air in the future. I would love to see what her thoughts are, but we'll see if we can rope her into an interview in the future.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, so it's been a real privilege to get to take over the show as host this year. So it has been great chatting with you, Suyin, and I think we'll leave it there.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show and for all your hard work and on all of these edits.
My pleasure.
So that's it, everyone. Another week of Grad Chat comes to an end, and we'll continue our wrap-up episode next week. Don't forget, you can download the show tomorrow from either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. Just search Grad Chat. Until next week, this is KM on the FM.
I'm Sujin, the DJ Bear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.